Turn with me to the book of St. John. St. John. And we're going to go right to the 10th chapter. St. John, the 10th chapter. And I want to talk to you tonight a little while on power. Power. John, the 10th chapter, beginning verse number 7, we're only going to go a few verses. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. John, the 10th chapter, verse 10 is our text. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus, we know, was speaking to a people tonight who were very much alive. They were alive physically, able to carry on natural life, so to speak, but lacked the life that Jesus was referring to. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. So what is Jesus really talking about? It's in Jesus we see God. Amen. Man had not seen God. Amen. But in Jesus we see what God is really like. John the first chapter, verse number 18, St. John 1, verse number 18, we read this. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. There was always a distance between man and God. They had very little knowledge of God under the Old Testament. Only through his laws and leaders did God manifest himself to his people. God speaking to Moses said in Exodus 33 and 20, Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4, verse number 12, the writer says this, Moses is speaking, says, And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. No one in the Old Testament thought it possible to see God. In Jesus Christ, the guesswork is over. He is the revelation of God. Listen to the words of Jesus as spoken to Philip. Jesus is speaking to Philip. He says in John the 14th chapter, turn me John the 14th chapter. Verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Amen. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. We see God and Jesus. Amen. And that's exactly what God wants to see in you and I. Amen. We sing the song, More About Jesus, Would I Know? That's the witness the world needs to see. Ones who act, who walk, who talk like Jesus. Amen. People always want more power with God. The power is in the life. We sing the song, send the power down. And God has sent the power down. Amen. But that power has to work through a human, a life. When the Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost, it went into people. And they were given power, boldness to speak the word of God as never before. It's not in knowledge. It's not in religion, in education, but it's rather in the life of a Christian. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Under the Old Testament, ones had heard about God, seen the mighty power of God, but they had not seen the life that was manifested in Jesus Christ. He was God manifested in the flesh. You want to know what God is like? Look at the life of Jesus. St. John, the first chapter, verse number 11. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the word was made manifest, dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, amen, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. When does the life of God come into our lives? When we're born again. When we're born of God. Amen. What kind of power is in the life? Not just power to join a church. Millions do that without Christ. Not power to give money to charities. Not power to just quit some habits. Several can do that in their own strength. What power is there in the life of Christ? The power to turn from wrong and to turn to that which is right. All through the Old Testament, we hear the cry of the prophets. It sounds out through, amen, book after book. Turn ye, turn ye, turn from evil. Learn to do that which is right. Amen. If you haven't quit sinning, then the life of Christ isn't in you and you're not saved. Turn with me to 24th Psalm tonight. Psalm 24, verse number 1. It's a short psalm, but it says it's a psalm of David. The 24th psalm, verse number 1, says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Then he goes down to verse 3 and he says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, who had not lifted up a soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And there was a psalmist, when he starts this psalm, he starts it by reminding us that the world and everything in the world, the inhabitants of the world and the earth belong to God. That's a truth we need to be reminded of once in a while. We brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything out when we go out. 1 Timothy 6 and 7 says this, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. The best suit of clothes we own someday might be going down into the ground. The house you live in, the children you got, the wife or the husband you have, the job you got, the car you drive, all come from God. All come made possible through the Lord tonight. You know, we can become so earthbound that we feel it's all ours. We can become so earthbound with materialism Amen. That we can become covish. And when we become covish, amen, we're definitely going to be in trouble with God. That's why ones become laden down with material goods. And we know that God has a way to release us, amen, from all those things for a while till we get our priorities straightened out. The psalmist said that God has founded it upon the seas, established it upon the floods. He's talking about the earth, which he has raised above the seas and the rivers and streams. But he said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? We know the hill of the Lord is Mount Zion. 15th Psalm, verse number 1 says, Lord, who shall abide in my tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The second Psalm, verse 6 says, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Who shall stand in his holy place? Amen. His holy place. Otherwise, who can stand in God's presence tonight? What is the psalmist saying? Who's worthy to dwell in Mount Zion in the presence of the Lord? Who's a true worshiper of God? Who's worthy to be called his child? And what constitutes true religion? Then the psalmist lays out before us tonight some earmarks of those who are worthy. He starts out by saying, he that hath clean hands. You know what it means to have clean hands? It means to walk upright and worketh righteousness is what it means. 15th Psalm, verse 1 and 2. This is a companion psalm. It says this, amen. We'll read it again. We want to make sure you get this point tonight. Who shall abide in my tabernacle? Amen. Who is the tabernacle of God? We are. Who shall dwell in my holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, speak the truth in his heart. To walk upright is to walk blamelessly, to walk perfectly. You know there were some men in the Old Testament that were perfect for their generation? Turn with me to the book of Job. Job, the first chapter, verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And then he goes on, the writer does, and tells us what Job's characteristics were. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. But then there was another one, and his name was Noah. Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. The word walk is used in the scriptures many times, means in their manner of life. They walked with God. Turn with me to the first psalm tonight. That first psalm is not a very long psalm, very long. There are a lot of short psalms, but they're power-packed. The first psalm says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted, not a wild tree, not one that just springs up, but planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. His character is, he walketh not. Amen. He walketh not. Amen. In the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. He walketh not. Amen. In the counsel of the ungodly after their manner, their principles. Amen. He does not follow after the ungodly. Amen. Otherwise, he does not follow the advice of sinners. He does not follow the plans or the purpose of sinners. Amen. He doesn't plan his life according to their views or their suggestions. In his plan and purpose of life, he's not dependent on the ungodly, but he looks to another source. He looks to God, amen, for direction in his life. Amen. God help us tonight. There are too many tonight, they say, amen. It's hung around the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. They get their direction, their counsel from the ungodly. Well, the psalmist said, he's not going to do that. He's not going to, amen, sit in the seat of the scornful. Amen. He's not going to take counsel from the ungodly. Amen. He's going to be a tree that's planted by God himself. Where? By where he can, amen, drink, amen, the spirit of life fluently. Christianity and religion. Amen. Christianity and religion. Amen. There's ones that are Christians tonight. Amen. And they have things in their life. They claim Christianity. Amen. But they're sitting, many of them, in the seat of the scornful. Well, the psalmist said he had clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. Now you can, amen, ascend into religion. You can get into religion without a pure heart today. And you can join most churches, or most churches, without a pure heart. In most places, you don't have to be saved to join a church. But you can ascend into the hill of the Lord. Amen. To ascend into Mount Zion, or the hill of the Lord, you must have a pure heart. In the hill of the Lord, holiness is required. Amen. You cannot dwell in sin and be in the church of God at the same time. Your heart must be pure. Amen. And we can't purify our heart ourselves. Amen. And you cannot baptize impurities away. To have a pure heart, you must be born again. You must be saved. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, thank God, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Listen to what he says. Seeing ye have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. On the unfeigned love of the brother, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verse number 22, says this. Flee also youthful lust. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. One of the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke of, Matthew the 5th chapter, verse number 8, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Then the psalmist mentions something that we should be well aware of. He goes on to say, "He who has not lifted up a soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully." Here the psalmist, amen, and this psalm is dealing with the thought of one being involved with that which is false or deceitful. Amen. Otherwise, he's saying a man just did not carry it away with just anything that comes to his ears. Amen. A godly man will not follow deceit. He checks a matter out. Amen. Before he walks in it. He won't give false testimony to win favor with others. The man who ascends into the hill of the Lord and stands in the presence of God will receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You know, we sing a song, "There's power in the blood." And there is. There's power in the blood to save from sin, to bring the peace of God where guilt had been. A new and happy life with them begin. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And then the chorus goes on to say, "There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus to save the soul today. Wash every sin away." Amen. Then he mentions this when he set the palsied sinner free. Ones want power in their life. And there's not a thing wrong with that. You know, there was somebody, I was reading it tonight, in the 8th chapter of Acts. His name was called Simon the Sorcerer. And he wanted that power too. And he wanted it so bad that he was ready to offer money so that whoever he laid hands on, he could also give power to. Amen. They want power in their life. Thank God. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But your heart has got to be right before you have that power in your life. Simon was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. God wants, you know, God wants to give you and I power in our life. Amen. He wants to give it to you more than you even want it. God wants to give us power in our life. Power comes when there's a life that's worthy of it. In our text, Jesus said, "He had come that we might have life, and I want it more abundantly." And you know, that's available. Jesus said, "And have it more abundant." Otherwise, Jesus is there to give us more of that life. And tonight, I'm going to let you out early. But as we begin to close, we want to encourage you by saying, if that power is lacking in your life, you can have it if you desire it. You know, there's some things you're just going to have to desire it. Amen. You're not going to be saved if you don't desire to be saved. Amen. We want to encourage you. If that power is lacking in your life, the power to be a witness, the power Josh testified tonight. Amen. It was his life, not his words, his life that actually, amen, got a hold of Stacy tonight. And that's exactly what turned me was the life. Not the words, but the life that backed up the words. Amen. Without this power, it's impossible to live a victorious life in this world. All God is looking for. You know, God can take any vessel, amen, and he can turn the power loose that that vessel, amen, will give us all to him. Amen. You don't have to be somebody high on the ladder. Jesus Christ has taken some of the, amen, the most downtrodden men. Who did he pick? Most of them were fishermen. And turned the power loose in their life. God will do the same thing for each and every one here tonight if you desire it. Amen. I said this morning, the song is, send the power down. God sent it down. Amen. But not everybody's got it. Amen. But if you desire it, I guarantee you, child of God, I guarantee you, dear one tonight, God will give it to you if you desire it. The power's in the life. Amen. The power's in the life. One of the greatest witnesses you've got is your life. Your life. Your words have got to be backed up with a life, living what you speak.